Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you've been listening through the weeks, you know that every Friday I've been devoting a whole show to just content from my book, Prepare Him Room, and just some personal stories that aren't in the book, and just really an effort to prepare Him room in our heart as we head into the holiday season. And here we are on the Friday before Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And you're probably very busy getting ready, making all the preparations. And I pray in the meantime that the Lord just gives you a presence of mind to be so present with Him that you see where He is. You see what He's doing and how He's moving in your midst. You know, I remember it was years ago what leader I spoke to, but he talked about doing really hard evangelistic work in tough areas of the world. And they would often send missionaries a year in advance to pray through the villages, just pray and prepare the soil, so to speak. And then when it came time to send their missionaries, they were instructed to find the people of peace. Find the people of peace and start there. And it's just someone who's got a tender and open heart. And I'm praying this season, the Lord shows you your people of peace. Maybe you have this, your eye on your prodigal, your eye on somebody that you're just waiting and wanting God to change things. And you know this, that healing is just not linear. It's just not a straight line. There are twists and turns to this journey because there are people that God wants you to meet and touch and learn from and teach. And so there's a weaving and a twisting and a turning to the journey of God. In fact, if you were to put a map out on your desk and draw the journey of Paul's journey or the disciples' journey, it would look like they never knew where they were going because it was twisting right, looping left, going up, going down, going north, going south. And that is how it is in the kingdom because we follow Jesus and we go where He tells us to go. So I'm praying this season you can find your people of peace, that you can love everybody, be present with everybody, listen intently, and listen with ears bent towards heaven where you're listening to people, but you're listening to God at the same time. But I strongly urge you and encourage you to look for your people of peace. Maybe there's a relative that you've barely talked to, and the Lord highlights them, and you realize, I need to talk with them. And you know why God's highlighting? Because they've been maybe talking to Him. He knows about something in their story, in their heart, where there's an opening. There's private work going on in the hearts of people all over the place. You might not see any notable changes on the outside, but God knows the hearts of men. He knows what's going on in our hearts, and He knows who needs what you have to give. Today, we'll talk about being present, about listening, about really doing away with our ideas of what Christmas should look like and really embracing wholeheartedly God's idea of what Christmas should look like. A shout out to Bethany House Publishers because each Friday, including today, we're giving away a handful of copies of my Advent devotional, Prepare Him Room. And it's a hardcover, gorgeous devotional. I mean, just it's beautiful to look at. And I say that by taking no credit because they did that. It's just beautiful. But I take you through Luke's gospel. And even though here we are at the end, toward the end of the Advent season, you could receive a copy and tuck it away for next year. So if you want in on the drawing, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And I do love this one. So I hope you get a copy if you don't have one already. So I'm going to talk this segment, and maybe you've heard me share this in Christmases past, or if you've ever heard me speak, maybe you've heard me share this. But I used to, years ago, in those early years when we were struggling so much with health and finances, I had a Christmas fantasy. And I would go so far as to say it was an unhealthy Christmas fantasy. And this is what happens when it seems that God is not giving you what you want. You can look to what the world offers as if that's somehow, you know, it seems quicker and accessible. In some ways, your temporary relief is quicker and more accessible. You know, with a click of a button, you can get things. You can get things. We're so used to getting things the same day or overnight that we're not used to waiting. We're not trained and educated on the power and the preciousness of waiting on God. So how often are Christians preempting outcomes and making things happen much quicker? And you can't do that without defaulting to some of the world's offerings, which in the end will always leave you disappointed, disillusioned, having lost ground, not gained ground. That's just true. Our hope is in the Lord. Our eyes fixed on Jesus is life and peace when our minds are set on the Spirit and doing what the Spirit desires. Life and peace flows up within us. And the beauty and the miracle of that is you can be in the most difficult season and you can flourish in the life of God and the peace of God within you because you're part of an otherworldly kingdom. And some of his kingdom has come to earth and his Spirit is taking up residence in your soul. It is just amazing when you think about it. So back to my Christmas fantasy. Because I felt disappointed, I felt like God was moving too slow. My eyes fell on the 30-second commercials, you know, and the Hallmark-like movies. I honestly don't even remember if Hallmark was a thing back then, but those kinds of Christmas shows were everything tied up in a nice bow in a short amount of time, but especially the commercials because they were only a minute long. But I remember seeing these moms wearing a dress and high heels while they're cooking cookies. Not that I aspired to that, but they looked so put together and beautiful in their perfect kitchen, pulling out cookies that were all the same size. And the kids were dressed up and getting along and smiling. And the music, Christmas music, is playing in the background. And I literally let myself have that fantasy, like thinking, one day you will be mine. And then I let that fantasy go in my mind a little more, going, there's going to be a day where I physically feel well enough to get dressed up to make my cookies. And somehow, some way, they're going to be all the same size. Somehow, some way, my three boys aren't going to be wrestling on the floor. They're going to be sitting in a nice row, dressed up, and they're going to have a cute little bow tie on. And then you're going to stop by unannounced, and I'm going to open my door happily and invite you into my perfect life. And you're going to think, wow, I came in unannounced. This must be how she always lives. And then I could flip my hair back and go, oh, I wasn't expecting you. I know it's pathetic. It's ridiculous. I was really young then. That's my excuse. But that was my Christmas fantasy. And I remember the season. It was a springtime when my hubby's parents gave us this giant artificial tree to replace our Charlie Brown artificial tree. And I was so excited. Well, the next season came and I was feeling a little bit better if I remember right, but it just felt like this is going to be my year. I have a little bit more energy. Things don't feel as terrible. And I couldn't believe it. The day had come to pull out the Christmas tree, to decorate. And back then we had cassette tape. Some of you might remember those. Text me an amen if you remember the cassette tape. Anyway, I had the Chipmunks Christmas cassette tape playing. So they're singing We Wish You a Merry Christmas and all of those great songs. I'm baking cookies. Kev's out in the living room with our three boys. And the kids are singing snowflakes and singing along with the Chipmunks. And I was just in my glory. I'm like, and although I would admit, you know, our little home and kitchen and didn't look anything like the commercial, I was living it out, right? I was doing this thing and I was so enjoying it until I look into the living room to see if everything was okay. And my sweet husband used to have this little habit. He doesn't anymore. But like, if he's not sure of himself or a little nervous about what he's about to tell me, he rubs his nose. So like, if we're driving in the car, I'll be like, do you know where we're going? He used to rub his nose. Yeah, it's up here. And I'm like, you rubbed your nose. You're guessing. And so that became a bantering point for us all the time. Well, anyway, I peek out. Everything okay, honey? Yeah, it's fine. As he rubs his nose, I'm like, oh, you rubbed your nose. And then he goes on. This is the other thing he used to do. He'd call me names, cute names, lovey names, when we were about to have, you know, to try to keep me from having a meltdown, let's say it that way. So he's like, it's okay, pumpkin duck. And I'm like, pumpkin duck? What? What's the matter? What's the matter? It seems that the previous spring, when he was doing some spring cleaning, he accidentally threw away half of our big tree and half of our little tree. Not sure how that happened. So what ended up in the box was a half of each tree, neither of which went together. So we really didn't have a whole tree because two halves don't always make a whole in this situation. And I'm like, we don't have a tree, and we had no money for a tree. And my sweet husband wanted to rescue the day so bad. And he's like, no worries, honey, no worries. Jacob, go get me my screw gun. Lukey, go get me my extension cord. And so I'm like, screw gun, extension cords, what? You know, people don't use tools to put their Christmas tree up. And he was going to be drilling holes. And I mean, in a short order, my Christmas cookies burnt in the oven. The cassette tape ate up the, you know, it just kind of sucked up the tape and it got jammed. And this truly happened. And the boys went from singing Christmas songs to throwing sawdust up in the air. Look, it's snow. And our living room looked like a commercial construction project. And it was later in the day by this time. And it was a disaster. I had to put the kids to bed, give them baths and stuff. So I went and kissed my hubby on the top of the head and said, honey, it's really okay. We don't need a tree this year. And I was really okay. I said, you know, we tried. And I put the kids, got them baths, put them to bed, and I crawled into bed. And I don't know when it was. A few hours later, I don't know. I rolled over and he wasn't in bed. And I walk out to the living room in the dark to see my husband sitting in front of a medium-sized Christmas tree, a perfect medium-sized Christmas tree. It was beautiful. And he was holding the control to the lights like they were a control to a race car set. And I walked up behind him and he said, I was going to make it rotate, but I thought I'd quit while I'm ahead. And I was at once overcome. I started to weep. Instantly, I had a God moment. I crawled in his lap and cried and cried. And I said, this living room, how it looked a few hours ago, is our life. But you had a vision. You knew the whole time that you could make this right. And it was like God was thundering in my spirit, saying, I see through the mess. I know what I'm doing with your life. And I think to see the finished product. And the truth is, we weren't ready for a large tree. We didn't have enough ornaments. We didn't have the money to decorate a large tree. I didn't even think about that. But we had ornaments and tinsel for a medium-sized tree. I sat there in my hubby's lap, and he pulled me in close, and we just marveled. And I thanked him for not giving up on the tree. And then together, we thanked God for not giving up on us. It was a glimpse of glory. And this is the thing, is I know when you walk through hard times at Christmas time, it feels especially hard because everybody else seems especially joyful. But the truth of the matter is most people are bleeding under their armor. Most people are brokenhearted in ways you cannot imagine. Just some are better at covering it up than others. And you know what? It's not for everybody to know. It's their story to tell. Some, that's how they cope. They're sharing with a few people, but the rest of the world doesn't get to know that struggle. But everybody knows heartbreak at some point in time. But this is what's true, is God sees, God knows, God loves you. He is for you. He's with you. And though you may be in a chapter of your story that makes you want to throw the book across the room, don't give up on your story. Don't give up on God, because he's not giving up on you. And if you could see the end from the beginning, you would embrace this time and say, have your way, God. I thank you in the midst of the mess that you're bringing beauty out of ashes. You're making something beautiful with my life. Because you know what? He is. That's who he is, and that's what he does. We'll be back in a moment. This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. Christmas is my favorite time of year. I remember back in our young years when we were struggling to make ends meet and someone surprised us with bags of groceries and gifts under the tree. All these years later now, we love to surprise others who have a need. Maybe you know someone who has a need this Christmas. You can give hope to someone this Christmas this year by sharing their story at myfaithradio.com. Help us help them and be a blessing to someone this year on myfaithradio.com. Welcome back to Susie Larson Live. So honored to get to spend this time with you. And this Friday, we're wrapping up my Prepare Him Room series, which we've been doing on every Friday. And if you've missed those, you can go back and catch them on podcasts. Just go where podcasts are played and type in Susie Larson, comma, Prepare Him Room, and they'll come up. But we've just been walking each Friday through some content from my book, Prepare Him Room, as well as drawing from stories of my history and then passages from Scripture that help us make space for Jesus, because that's what it's all about. And yet over and over again, I hear from Christians who say, I can't wait till Christmas is over so I can focus on Jesus. I get what they're saying, but it doesn't need to be that way. We can practice his presence right here and now. We're the ones who can dictate what we put our time to, where we give our attention. And thanks to Bethany House, we've got a handful of copies of my Prepare Him Room Advent devotional to give away. And I know it's late in the season, but maybe you'll get it in time to when you're putting away your Christmas stuff, and then you can pull it back out for next year. I walk you through Luke's gospel, and it's a deep dive. It's not a light, fluffy Advent reading. It's a deep dive, asking for time, asking for space to really seek God and to get a revelation from him. As I've been saying these last few weeks, God cares very much about our endings and our beginnings. He cares how you wrap up this year. He cares how you're going into the next year. And that's why the enemy works so hard to thwart what God is doing. And one of the ways he does that in the holiday season is we have all this accumulated hurt from the year that maybe we've been too busy to resolve in light of God's love. So all that stuff starts to surface in this time. And since everybody else is overindulging, it feels like nobody will notice if you join them, if you eat too much, drink too much, spend too much, commit to too much. Everybody else is doing it, but it only temporarily numbs you. And as I often say, you've got to feel it to heal it. And so Christmas is exactly the right and perfect time to be really honest about the stuff maybe you haven't had time to sort through the rest of the year, to give your soul some time and space to bring up the hurts that you've encountered this year, to bring before the Lord the lies you picked up when life let you down, so that you truly could end this year wide-eyed. Maybe you had a word of the year. Did you forget it? Most people do, but remember it. And ask God to speak to you about it. There's still a little bit of time before the year ends. What if you ended course correcting, heading true north, facing the Lord with your eyes on Jesus? What if God moved in your heart in these next few days? And even after Christmas, before New Year's, what if he moved in your heart and literally spoke truth to your soul that sets you free? My hubby and I have been doing, we did a 21-day fast in November and then a 21-day fast in December. And there's a specific thing that's just heartbreaking to me that I'm not going to say more than that, but it just is a daily heartbreak for me. And when I asked the Lord, what do you want me to know about that? Remember, that's a Jamie Winship question. What do you want me to know? The things he spoke to me about that were so powerful. And it just brought clarity and it lightened my load. It lifted some of my burden. It brought truth to my soul. And I recently spoke with Dr. Rob Reamer. I have him on about once a month. And he was saying, if you can learn to praise God in your heartbreak, not for it, but in it, where you offer worship. He's like, it's not that you're grateful for the heartbreak. That wouldn't even be realistic. But you're thankful in the heartbreak. You're thankful to God. Now, there's a big difference. You're not grateful for the heartbreak. You're thankful in the heartbreak. You're thankful that you serve a God that works all things, not some things, all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He confides in those who fear him. There's a solid case in Scripture to be made for this truth, that he treats his children differently. And you can thank him for that, that there's nothing you can suffer through. There's no demon in hell that can come against you that God can't redeem many times over. And what Dr. Rob Reamer said is, when I learned to thank God for the things he was allowing and praise him in the middle of it, not thank him for those things, but thank him for who he is in those things, that anything I'm going through, you're going to use to refine me and redeem me. And he talked about all the ministry that came out of that private prayer of surrender. What if that was just the one thing you did before the year's end? Where you looked at, took that biggest heartbreak of yours, instead of trying to numb out and set it aside to face January 1st or January 2nd with, what if you took that before the Lord now, in this season, and said, Lord, I know you care about endings and beginnings. What do you want me to know about this? And I want to worship you, God. I want to thank you, not for this, but I want to thank you for you. Because in the middle of this, you're going to redeem it. You're going to make something good of it. Yes, the enemy meant it for evil, but you are going to turn it for good somehow, some way. So I'm going to start praising you now. And like Dr. Rob Reamer said, once the answer comes, once the breakthrough comes, it will take no faith to praise God. You praise him because he deserves it and he's come through for you. But that offering of praise, the sacrifice of praise, that requires some faith on your part, that's so precious to God. In Mark 4, 23:25, it says this, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And this is why, I don't know who said it first, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. This is why, because when you're busy or when you're busy being bad, you're not going to have ears to hear. But there are times you might be hearing but not listening. You might be listening but not seeking to understand. And this is why you hear me over and over, day in and day out on this show, to be a big proponent for giving God time and space to speak to you. Daily, the heavens pour forth speech. He's got some things he wants to say to you. And this is Jesus again. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. Listen to this. The closer you listen, the more understanding you'll be given. And you'll receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken from them. Wow. Wow. Mark Batterson said this, and I might have referenced this quote last show. I can't remember. If you aren't willing to listen to God, everything God has to say, I'll start again. If you're not willing to listen to everything God has to say, you eventually won't hear anything he has to say. If you want to hear his comforting voice, you also have to listen to his convicting voice. And it's often what we want to hear the least that we need to hear the most. Trust me, though, you want to hear what he has to say. Consider all the times in the Gospels that Jesus said one thing and the disciples heard another. I mean, how many times did Jesus say, "I've been with you all this time and you still don't know? Have I not told you?" I mean, Jesus never minced words. He never wasted words. His prophetic presence changed the atmosphere, and it continues to change the world, even though scores of people miss him now as they missed him then. Jesus knew that many of his insights would become clear to the first century disciples in hindsight. Still, he paused for a moment to teach followers about the power of receptivity. He used the parable of the soils to explain the condition of our hearts and our lives. And listen to this. He supplies potent, powerful seed able to produce 100 times what's planted. But it's up to us to offer available, pure, and receptive soil, hearts, listening ears. We are the ones who are called to cultivate an atmosphere of growth in our lives so they'll explode with an abundance of fruit and life and power. So let's look at the four soils and see what we can learn from them. This is very much a Christmas lesson because the question is, how receptive are you? This is Luke 8, 4 through 8. One day, Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. A farmer went out to plant a seed. As he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as what has been planted. When he said this, he called out, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." So, the first three soils represented in this passage and in our hearts are these: not guarded, not grounded, and not given to the things of God. What we repeatedly sow in our hearts all year long spills out of our lives when the stress of holidays push us around. So let's consider these soils in light of the Christmas holiday. What might it look for the unguarded heart when Jesus comes on the scene? I painted these pictures in my Advent devotional Prepare Him Room, so I'm just going to read the not guarded heart. Are you ready? Picture Jesus in all of his glory, strength, and wisdom. Imagine his gentle yet firm, confident demeanor. He stands in a woman's kitchen and whispers truth to her soul. But she's filled her heart with so much angst towards others that she can't hear a thing. She constantly rehashes her hurts and stirs herself right into a self-justified tizzy. God whispers to her heart, invites her to rehearse his promises instead. She senses a small opening to maybe think differently, to believe the best, to consider forgiveness as an option. But just as quickly, she brushes it away. She goes about her stressed holiday, hoping by some random chance things will be different this year. That's the not guarded heart. Here's the not grounded heart. Next, Jesus visits an eager soul who's always into the next new thing. She agrees to go to church with her neighbor and absolutely loves the worship and the message. She thinks to herself, "I'm going to start attending church. This is great." But as soon as she gets home, her attention deficit kicks in and she's off to the next Christmas cocktail party on her calendar. She forgets all about her worship experience and goes happily along her way. She has heart, but no depth. That's the not grounded heart. Here's the one. This is the soil not given to the things of God. Jesus heads to the next home of a wealthy woman of high standard and high status in her community. She continues to live beyond her means, both financially and physically, which constantly keeps her stretched to her limits. Jesus sits with her as she sits through Bible study. She's grateful she made time for it, given all she has to do to get ready for all of her Christmas gatherings. She checks her watch, makes a few notes on her phone, and then here's the last part of the instructor sentence. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. We need him every moment of every hour. So true, she thinks to herself. Then it's time to go. Before she knows it, Christmas time has come and gone. Months have passed, and she can't remember the last time she cracked open her Bible. From the outside looking in, people think she's got it all. But she's built her house and her life on sinking sand. That's the not given to things of God heart. And finally, this is the heart that's guarded, grounded, and given fully to God. Jesus has one more stop to make. He smiles as he makes his way up the walkway of a simple home surrounded by snow-covered pines. A woman opens the door and invites him in. Together they sit by the light of the Christmas tree and talk about her children, her grandchildren, and her recent answers to prayer. Jesus marvels at her faith. She's overwhelmed by his love. Jesus leans in and gets serious for a moment. He encourages her to reach out to the neighbor who has seemed especially quiet these days. She needs some hope and encouragement, Jesus says. In fact, she's home today and could use a visit. Jesus also brings to mind a passage of scripture that will come in handy in the days ahead. She's not sure what's up ahead, but she trusts Jesus and holds his words close to her heart. You know, Jesus speaks through his word, through the inner nudges of the Holy Spirit, through others, and through everyday circumstances that the untrained ear might miss. God himself told his people, "This is my son. Listen to him." I mean, how much more of a charge do we need? Think about it. Those who cultivate a listening life and respond to what Jesus says, their lives will abound in fruit. They will walk in power, and they'll continually enjoy fellowship with God. Scripture promises that the one who listens will enjoy even greater revelation. Whatever you know of God now is just a taste of the wisdom and insight to come. Don't squander the moments Jesus offers you. He loves you, and he's with you. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. And this Friday wraps up our 4-Friday series of Prepare Him Room, as we are really seeking to make space for Jesus. And I know the holiday is just, well, tomorrow and the next day, but I'm still praying that you can prepare him room, that you can find some time and space, and even in the days between the two holidays of Christmas and New Year's, to hear from God, to do some fasting, to sit quietly and hear what God has to say. You know, this kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And on day 9, the reading from Prepare Him Room, the title is A Physical and Spiritual Kingdom, and there are several passages I reference. One is Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And then Luke 10:9, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. That is powerful. Then I reference a study note from my Life Application Study Bible, and it says this. I love this. Jesus announced his kingdom by both preaching and healing. He sent his disciples to do the same. If he had limited himself to preaching, people might have seen his kingdom as spiritual only. If he had healed without preaching, people might not have realize the spiritual importance of his mission. The truth about Jesus is that he's both God and man, both spiritual and physical, and the salvation that he offers is both for the soul and the body. I've talked about this before, but when you see salvation in the New Testament, many times it's talking about the healing and redemption and restoration of the whole person. That's just true. Sozo is wholeness, healing, to be made well, to be restored. And you just have to follow Jesus around the Gospels to see that he cares so deeply about the human condition. He doesn't want you sick. You know, he does allow people to get sick, but he never makes them sick. I mean, really think about it. In the natural realm, if a parent made their child sick to teach them a lesson, they'd be reported to child services. What kind of good parent would ever do that? No, God does not make his children sick. But we live in a fallen and broken world. We inherit certain genetic tendencies. You know, we're exposed to toxins. Sometimes we trash our body on our own. And there are consequences to all of that. But Jesus heals and redeems and restores. And sometimes he heals in an instant. Sometimes it's the long game. But he is a healer. I feel like, I think I told you a couple years ago when God brought my Marvel women together to start praying every week for my healing, I am far more healed now than I was back then, and I give God the glory. But I also want to say, I use traditional medicine, functional medicine, I exercise, I do infrared sauna, I drink a lot of water, and all of these things God has pointed me to. I've had healing prayer, deliverance prayer. I've marched around my house and preached the gospel to myself and prayed the scripture. I've read lots of books on healing. I've meditated on passages on healing. Do you think any of that's been wasted on me? Not at all. I would say it's all contributed to the health and the vitality that I'm walking in today. Again, not 100%, not fully healed just yet, but I've never been more healed than I am now. The symptoms are at a minimum. I'm feeling strong and healthy as a rule, you know, rather than the exception. And I give God all the praise. But the thing is, He works through people. He works through circumstances, and He does that. And so He might be, that's why we have Dr. Troy on every month, is to help you understand that every step towards healing matters. But you would feel, if you don't believe God wants you well, then it would almost seem instinctively that you're working against Him to get well. But think about that. I mean, by His stripes, we are healed. And if you look up salvation, look up the word, the many times it's used in the New Testament, many times it's referring to the wholeness, the fullness of your whole being. And shalom speaks to that as well. And if the new kingdom, you know, excluded healing, how is the new kingdom more glorious? So those are just some of my thoughts. But I guess I want to put some expectancy in you that though the healing path is going to look different for all of us, I want you to see yourself on the healing path. If you follow Jesus, you follow a healer, and He will correct and direct and restore and replenish. He can do that. There are so many tweaks that I needed to make along the way, and there are times where something worked and then it stopped working, and you just keep course correcting. But I want to be well. I want to show up well in my relationships, in the ministry, in the calling, and I want that for you as well. You know, somebody once said, or recently, I don't know how, I wrote this in Prepare Him Room, so it must have been a few years ago, but I saw it on social media. We got to get away from all this talk about soul care and back to preaching the gospel. That rubbed me in the wrong way, and you know me well enough to know probably why. And her statement at first sounds righteous and biblical. In many ways, she's right in that, you know, it's not all about us. It's about Jesus. It's about a lost world. But there's times when people focus so much on the lost world that they don't even think for a moment that God cares about your broken heart and your sore knee and your in sleepless nights, but He cares very much about all of that. That phrase, that statement made me cringe. Not because I don't think we tend to focus too much on ourselves at the expense of the lost. I think we do that at times. But the reason I didn't like that statement was because it felt sharp and it lacked compassion and it missed a crucial point. It's true, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. But it's also true that everywhere He went, He tended to the human soul. His compassion is what moved Him to heal the multitudes, to deliver those tormented by demons, and to put right those who were thinking wrong, because He cares about the human condition. Even today, countless Christians sludge through life, exhausted, burdened, underjoyed. Does Jesus berate them for the condition of their souls, tell them to get out of here or get out there and do your job? No. He says, come to Me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. If you're overstressed this holiday season and it's entirely your fault, let's say you just overspent, overate, overcommitted, and now you're like, I brought this on myself. Do you know that Jesus' invitation still stands? Come to Me, all who are weary. You're going to find Him with open arms and a tender heart, not condemnation and a sharp rebuke. And He will give you comfort and rest because He's good. He's so good. He'll teach you a better way to live, and He'll love you every step of the way. Or maybe you're just plain weary from serving others at church, leaving you no time or energy to put into your family holidays. You know what? You can trust, again, God's not rolling His eyes at you, breathing a heavy sigh. He loves you. He loves your heart. He cares about you. And He will give you rest. He has a plan for your rest. He has a plan for your rest. So make room for Him. And I pray that the restorative power of Christ's kingdom will come to your heart and your home this season. Like right here, right now, you switch gears. Maybe you let go of some plans that you had that are stressing you out. You cut them out. Say, nope, simple is better. Less is more this year. We're going to breathe. Isaiah prophesied about the coming king. I want to look at a few verses from Isaiah chapter 9. And I want to read these slowly and ponder the kind of king that God sent to earth. Notice what he's like. Pay attention to what he cares about. Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Verse 4. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. Verses 6 and 7. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will know no end. It will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for a few months. No, for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. That's in the Bible. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. This is our God. He doesn't save us to slave us. He saves us because he loves us. He's become our Prince of Peace, our Mighty Counselor, the Everlasting God. And though he wants his kingdom to expand in and through us, that is true. He knows all about our tendencies and our trials. And he knows how weak and self-focused we can be. So you know what he does? He teaches us. He walks with us. And he shows us how to grow. Maybe you needed to hear that today. He teaches you, walks with you, and shows you how to grow. One of the phrases I used to say all the time, and I'm still training myself to quit using it, but when I make a mistake or I overlook something because I move fast and I have a lot of tasks on my list always, oh, I could kick myself. And one day the Lord whispered to me, do you kick anybody else? I'm like, no. Then I don't want you talking like you're going to kick yourself. I'm just wondering this season if you maybe and I need to realign our thoughts about ourselves, especially when we blow it, especially when it's our fault we're tired, what your instinctive thoughts are about yourself, how would those change if you lived like a deeply loved child of God, as Dr. Rob Reamer says? What if you paused right there and said, Lord, what would a deeply loved child of God do here? How would a deeply loved child of God respond to a mess they got themselves in? You'd be amazed at what God shows you. We'll be back in a moment. This is Suzy Larson, host of Suzy Larson Live. You know, I learned a valuable lesson while walking through one of the deep valleys of the shadow in my life. Our hearts can't live without hope, and we have reason for hope because Jesus is with us in every season of life. Using the word hope as an acronym, I want to remind you of four very important truths when it comes to hope. That God is a healer. One way or another, he will heal and redeem your story. O is you are meant to overcome. P is you have a purpose and a calling. And E, God wants you to live with eternity in mind. If you're struggling to make it to the next moment, text the word hope to get a fresh dose of hope. We are here to help you and walk with you through this journey. You can text 877-933-2484. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. So grateful for you. Just so grateful to get to do this journey with you, to bring you great guests day after day to help us walk this faith journey together. If you've been listening over the last few weeks, I've been devoting these Fridays to prepare him room, that we would just have some time together to slow down, exhale, and prepare him room. Give God some time and space to speak to us. And what you want to remember always is that God loves you, that he sings over you, and that we all have things we need to hear from him. We all have concerns on our heart, things we're maybe a little confused about or wondering about, delays that we're wondering, are they denials or are they for our deliverance? What are you doing, God? And he's so good to speak to us in a way that we can hear and understand when we give him time. And so today's show really is about just attentiveness to the Lord and even being so present with the people that you're with. And at the opening segment, I talked about when you head into these holidays, ask God to open your eyes and ears to the people of peace, to people that maybe in your family gatherings you may overlook. Maybe it's a young nephew or niece or a cousin or a family member that you just maybe aren't super connected with, but the Lord highlights them, and there's a tenderness about them that maybe God is doing something in them that you're not even aware of, but God wants to make you aware of, and you've got something to impart to them. I just think it becomes an adventure of faith when we walk in His presence as we live here on earth, which is my life verse, Psalm 116:9. And so I walk in the Lord's presence as I live here on earth. And that's just growing to mean so much more to me. You know, I'm an introvert. I'm a homebody. I joke that I could be a monk, but to a default where I could so easily isolate. But the Lord has provided some friends in community in the last few years in community that are just as passionate as I am. I feel like I've met my match in the way that they pray and they go after the things of God and they help other people heal. And so in community, we're sharpening each other, helping each other. And I'm learning something of God as I'm in a circle of people who are all, you know, fighting their own battles, wrestling with their own heartbreaks, but just feel convinced that God is more than we know Him to be, that He has more than we've ever experienced before. And as in community we seek Him together, we are just blown away at what He's doing in our midst. And if you've been listening to me for the last several years, even at the open of the pandemic, God gave me this picture. He speaks to me in word pictures. And I saw this power grid. And I knew in my spirit that these clusters on this power grid, if you picture a cluster, then a line to another cluster, then a line, were clusters of people who pray. And I've said, even if you have to get in a house and stay 6 feet away, find your prayer people, find your fire people. And they may not be your best friends, which is fine. But find the people who are the most fiery Christians you know and start praying, even if it's once a week. And if they're, you know, all over the country, get on a Zoom call. It's just easier not to. But when you start to do that and you come together and you pray in one accord, maybe your group is to pray for your spouses or for your kids or for your city or whatever. But the power grid picture that I got is if you're praying and we're praying and all these different clusters are praying, there's like this underlying power grid structure that's providing so much activity in the heavenly realm that we can't even imagine it. Oh, I'm passionate about prayer. And I pray that you will find your people. And you might be an introverted person like me, so it's easier not to, but don't let that be an excuse. Find your people and find a way to be in community. Because what's interesting is we've been in community, when God gives me a revelation for one of them, if they're maybe doubting who they are, and I'm like, this is what I see. This is who you are. And they'll do the same for me when I'm forgetting who I am. And it really goes back to Dr. Kurt Thompson, who I've had on a bunch of times, where he talks about you can't heal and become your best self outside of intimate, safe community. Outside of a community of people that when your self-life shows, when the hard parts of your story, the messy parts show, these people say, I'm not leaving the room. We need to become those kind of people. I'm telling you, that's when revival is going to break out. In the intimate places of us starting to get real in clusters, and we find out who we are, and then those circles expand because we bring other people in and help them heal because we get to help people. You've heard the phrase, hurt people hurt people. And that's very true. But my friend Melissa Coleman, who I've had on the show talking about mercy trials, she also adds, yeah, but healed people heal people. I just think that's true. So that's another one of my charges for you. Find your people. Start praying. Go after the stuff in your own life that needs healing, needs redemption, needs perspective. And as you guys start to experience God together, you're going to bring other people in and you're going to help hurt people be healed people so they can help others heal. Somebody got to text me and amen. Amen. So in day 11, a prepare him room, the title is of that reading, Ask, Don't Demand. And Proverbs 22:4 says, true humility in the fear of the Lord leads to riches, honor, and a long life. Yeah, we don't demand things from God. We don't pound our fists and stomp our feet. We bow humbly before the Lord, Most High. But then we make our appeal bold. When we know the word and we're on a biblical grounds, we make a bold appeal to God. Always, though, with humility and heart. Mark Batterson writes this, God's not a genie in a bottle, and your wish is not His command. His command better be your wish. Until His sovereign will becomes your sanctified wish, your prayer life will be unplugged from its power supply. Jesus had an active prayer life. Imagine what that was like for the disciples to watch Him slip away, to get alone with His Father. They no doubt also witnessed moments of impromptu prayer when He got quiet, looked up, and whispered a prayer for guidance. I mean, try to imagine it. They see him slip away. He's on his knees. His hands are open. He looks up and he starts to whisper. Imagine that as they watch him. They watch him walk away, bow low, and suddenly enjoy an intimate, thriving relationship with Almighty God. I want you to picture Jesus in a secluded place, on his knees, hands open, eyes upward. Now picture his countenance as the Father imparts wisdom, direction, affection. Try to imagine the corners of Jesus' lips turning upward as he returns praises back to his Abba. He smiles a little bit, maybe puts his hand on his heart because he's so warmed by his Father's presence and wisdom. But just then, he hears sandals shuffling in the dirt and finds one of his disciples approaching him slowly, watching him intently. That disciple steps closer and says, "Lord, teach me. In fact, teach us how to pray like you pray." Together they walk back toward the others, and Jesus unveils the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, holy, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus taught them how to give God all the honor and glory he deserves, how to stay present in the moment with their ever-present Father and trust him for all they would ever need, how to forgive as they'd been forgiven. Then Jesus took the lesson of prayer to uncharted territory for these disciples. He told a story about a man who late at night asked a friend for some bread because of an unexpected house guest. The man refused to be inconvenienced at such a late hour, and here's what Jesus says. "But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep asking and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." Phillips Brooks, he's the great 19th century preacher, said, "Prayer's not conquering God's reluctance, but taking hold of his willingness." Jesus had an active prayer life. He wants us to have an active prayer life. Scripture tells us time and time again, don't hold back. Pray. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Don't forget to thank him for all he's done. If you do this, you will experience a peace that will flood your soul and guard your heart as you trust in him. That's my paraphrase. So go ahead. Ask for provision. Seek his wisdom. Knock on the doors of heaven. They're bursting with divine supply. God wants you so much to want his influence. But interestingly, note that Jesus invites us to ask for what we need, and then he promises to give us more of the Holy Spirit. Wait, what? When we have physical needs, don't they require physical answers? Well, yes. And God's so good to answer our physical needs with physical answers, but he wants us to value the deeper treasure that we've inherited because we are in him. When God gives us more of the Holy Spirit to meet our need, it may look something like this. You ask for money to pay your bills. Not only does the Holy Spirit nudge someone to send you a gift, he gives you wisdom about next steps, then what next steps you might need to take. You ask God to loosen up your schedule so that you won't feel so stressed, and the Holy Spirit drops divine wisdom into your heart about necessary adjustments and future commitments. You ask God to change a difficult family member, preferably before Christmas, and instead he changes you. And he offers you a fresh perspective on the places within you that still need healing. He helps you not to take things personally. Then he offers you insight into the brokenness in your family member, and he stirs up compassion in you. I mean, what a gift, right? A little later in Luke 11, Jesus warns against unbelief. People pressed, asked for a sign to prove that he is who he says he is. Earlier, he invited his disciples to ask and keep asking, to seek and keep seeking. Yet here in this moment, he didn't appreciate that people asked for a sign. The fact that Jesus invites his followers to ask and keep asking, then he confronts bystanders, well, it begs us to scoot a little closer and seek to understand. Let's go back to the disciple who watched Jesus pray. Picture him with open hands and wide-eyed wonder, when suddenly a host of questions spills from his lips. "Lord, teach me to pray like that. That calmness in your eyes, do you ever feel fear? How come when you pray for healing, it happens every time, but not for us? What are we missing?" Now picture a suspicious, hard-hearted, legalistic bystander among the crowd of curious hearts. He spews, "I'll believe it when I see it. Prove that you are who you say you are, and I'll get back to you on my decision. I'm not easily fooled." Though Jesus deeply loves the hard-hearted legalist, he saved and radically transformed Paul, by the way, He does distance himself from the proud, and he draws near and gives grace to the humble. Asking for wisdom and demanding a sign are two different things. Jesus wants you to trust him and wants you to believe what he says about himself. Everything about our Christian life will flow from the reality of who he really is. Everything about our faith is built on the truth about Jesus. This truth that in the beginning, the Word already existed and the Word was with God and the Word was God. And he existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him and nothing was created except through him. Wow. The Word gave life to everything that was created and his life brought the light to everyone. And this light shines in the darkness and the darkness can never extinguish it. Is it not amazing to belong to Jesus? To have the power of the Holy Spirit alive in you? Walk intimately with God. He loves you. And have the best Christmas ever. Love you so much. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.